Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your co-host, Dr. Matt Polacek. And every Monday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon Pacific time, this show will bring you special guests that can inspire, educate, and entertain while bringing answers and options to raising children today in our constantly changing future. Answers with the Family will address issues such as locating your runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, or dealing with addiction. As I'm sure many of you expected to hear Alan's voice this morning, we're reminded of the reality of what he does when he's not on the air. As a licensed private investigator and crisis interventionist, he gets calls and has to respond quickly, be it locating a runaway, escorting a teen to a specialized program, or retrieving an abducted child. Now, I spoke to him yesterday and learned that he's been asked to meet with a client who believes their runaway daughter may now be involved with human traffickers. So this is pretty scary stuff. Of course, we wish Alan the swift success in rescuing this child. Our topic today is on the future of man. And you know Alan and I both share this love for old Westerns. And I grew up watching Josie Wales and, you know, Dirty Harry. But really, the age of the dominant male is past us. And women are starting to make more money, earn more college degrees, dominate more industries. And that's just the start. Today's men are rejecting the macho stereotypes and are more actively parenting. But what does this really mean for the future of masculinity? And what kind of world will our sons grow up in, an entire generation being left behind in today's reverse gender gap? Today, we're bringing on Jack Myers, author of How the Age of the Dominant Male is Over, The Future of Men and Masculinity in the 21st Century. Jack Myers is the founder of MediaVillage.com, author of Hooked Up, A New Generation's Surprising Take on Sex, Politics, and Saving the World, and several other books. He's recognized culturally as a cultural visionary, award-winning documentary film producer, and advisor to hundreds of leading corporations on media and technology trends. So, Jack, welcome to Answers with the Family.
Thank you, Matt, and I hope Alan is successful.
Yes, his work brings him all over the world, actually, and he's got wonderful stories. So let's jump right into this. There was a Stanford Business School study that showed that women who have mastered masculine traits perform better in business than masculine men of any kind of woman. So why more women and less men do you think are graduating with college degrees, and what does this really mean?
Couple questions there. You know, as we look at women succeeding with masculine characteristics, and they embrace both masculine and feminine characteristics, men are really challenged by that conflict because when men demonstrate more traditionally feminine characteristics, they are not as successful. So young men, especially growing up in many ways a woman's world, and we can talk more about that, are finding it very conflicting when they move into a corporate world where they're expected to perform in certain ways that are more traditionally masculine, but yet they've grown up with more feminine characteristics. Now, the reasons that men aren't succeeding in college, first of all, boys are 50% more likely to fail math, science, and reading in school. And most educators, in fact, all educators will point to the reality that the school system, the secondary school system, grade school, high schools, are really designed around an educational system built for girls. And boys just are not as successful in grade school and high school. There are more dropouts in high school, more boys deciding that they'd rather go to work than go to college and incur the kind of debt There are a lot of economic realities, Matt. There are a lot of educational realities that we can drill more deeply into. And there are a lot of social realities that are preventing boys from making the decision to go to school. So we have, for the last decade, 60% of college graduates being girls, and that's forecast for at least the next decade forward.
That's amazing. You know, you'd said it's now a women's world. What did you mean by that?
Well, again, there are a lot of statistics that we can drill down into, but just giving you a sense of some social realities. 40% of children are growing up today in fatherless homes. In the schools, grade school and high school, the vast majority of teachers are female, so there are no role models, positive role models for young boys. Their role models are more their mothers and their teachers. In the media, we're seeing boys being and men being portrayed inappropriately in many ways, as in beer commercials, as sexist and misogynistic, or in other commercials as idiots who can't even pick out their own analgesic or diaper a baby or wipe up a spill effectively without the support of a woman. So the media images, the educational realities in the home, there are more and more women dominating in the workforce. More than 50% of the workforce is female today, and women are increasingly, even though there continues to be pay inequality, and even though there are C-suite issues in 13 of the top 15 growth industries in the United States, women represent 60-70% of the workforce. Wow. So they go into jobs, and they're surrounded, frankly, by women. Those women have a 60-year history of the women's movement and feminism supporting them. They're typically women support groups, and the men don't have that equal kind of support guiding them and directing them. So in many ways, it is becoming a women's world and has been for quite a while. Obviously, I don't underestimate the realities of the challenges that women continue to have in getting pay equality. I'm very clear and very supportive of the women's movement and the continued need for the women's movement to continue to push on many fronts, and all I call for is an equality of recognition of some of the challenges confronting young men today, and that we pay attention to those young men early on, and for our sons and our grandsons, that we're beginning to pay attention to the educational system and to the family and family life, and do more to support young men and boys.
And within the family life, you had mentioned, you know, that astronomical number of fatherless homes. Is this a social construct or an American construct? Or?
Well, it's happening around the world. The book, The Future of Men, is really focused on the United States, where there are very serious issues. There are clearly incarceration issues. But we do have a real social issue of men economically being given an incentive to leave home and in many ways to be deadbeat dads. We need to reverse our system of support for men and encourage them through tax incentives and debt relief programs and in other ways to be more supportive of their families and to stay and to be given real incentives to stay in the home. We also need to recognize that there is a growing disconnect and discontent among young men in terms of relationships, as young women under 30 are increasingly more dominant in the workforce as they're out earning young men. And there's this you know what, Matt, I've studied this now for 4 years, and before that was spent a number of years studying young people and this emerging generation. And we really have this huge issue among young men where they've grown, they've the societal expectations on them from childhood are that they act in a certain way, that big boys don't cry, that they shouldn't be vulnerable, that they learn in sports that it's okay to cheat. If you're out at first, don't. If you're called safe at first and you know you're out, don't tell them. We don't have instant replay and to assure honesty in the little leagues, but we need to start imposing a new sense of trust, a new sense of honesty, and a new sense of what it is to be a boy and a man today that is very different than past generations. So young men looking to the past for guidance are looking to a very different reality than they're growing up with today when we're asking them to be more vulnerable, suggesting that they be more open, and where society is pushing them to have more feminine qualities, but yet there are still these outmoded and outdated traditions of masculinity that are being imposed on them, and it's creating depression, it's creating higher suicide rates, and it's creating, frankly, an environment where even fathers and sons are completely out of sync in terms of being able to connect on a level where the father is able to give his son support in the same way that mothers and fathers are giving daughters support, because society has said to daughters, it's okay to be strong, it's okay to be forceful, it's okay to be assertive, it's okay to have male qualities, but for boys, it's still not okay to show female qualities in many homes, and I think that's a dangerous reality.
Yeah, you use that term man up, and in my home, you know, my father wasn't one who would change diapers per se, and when we had our daughter, you know, it was expected that I would change diapers. So there's almost these generational conflicts within the society, like you're saying, that are, you know, so does, you know, do basically what it sounds like is there needs to be an evolution, but also an acceptance from other generations and society as a whole of this evolution of what a man is.
And that's so true across many, many different areas of life, not just in the workplace, not just in sports, but think about sexuality and the easy availability of porn today. Now, you know, when I was growing up, I hid the copy of Playboy in the cabinet, and, you know, my dad caught me, and I was punished for looking at Playboy, but that was where I got advice, and that's where I learned about sexuality, along with James Bond and, books like Tropic of Cancer and Tropic of Capricorn, and they weren't necessarily appropriate, but I didn't really grow up with sexual education, but I didn't grow up with porn either. And today's young boys from a very young age are exposed on the internet to all types of porn, and their sex education is being taken out of the schools around the country. Parents are often not comfortable with it, and they have no place to really learn, so they come into relationships with porn as their guidance in terms of what sexuality is, and they're not learning intimacy. The failure of intimacy is creating some real conflicts between young men and young women. In fact, 85% of all relationships that end, and Matt, you may know this, but 85% of all long-term heterosexual relationships that end are ended by the woman.
Amazingly, I did not know that.
And among women 30 to 45 years old, there are three times as many of them unmarried as there were in the 1970s. 45% of women in that young and middle-aged group are unmarried. And women are dissatisfied with their relationships today. They're more financially independent, they're more self-confident, and they're more willing to go it alone rather than in unhealthy, unhappy relationships. Young men who are not growing up learning how to communicate effectively, how to be intimate, how to make strong relationships even stronger, and correct weak relationships, or even recognize that they're weak, are are really struggling because they're staying in unhappy relationships, and then surprised when their girlfriends or their wives tell them they want to end it, and they don't know what to do or how to correct it or what went wrong in many instances. So we have this real breakdown, I think, Matt, in terms of what is masculinity today and the conflicts between the 20th century masculinity that all of us grew up with and the 21st century masculinity that young boys and girls are growing up with today that are very, very different. And we're lacking guides, role models, and direction for young men. And we need to correct that for our sons and our grandsons, and make sure that going forward, we start encouraging and inspiring better and more healthy avenues and paths for young men.
Well, I think this book is definitely a great starting point, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you.
A couple things I was thinking about as you were talking is there's a chapter on communication, when men's communication, mm-hmm. which I think is important, and I'd love to discuss that with you. But also, you talk a little bit about men's instincts to lie, and this, what leads to marital affairs. You know, and I've heard everything from that, you know, men cheat from spreading the seed arguments to survival, but I would like to think that we've evolved kind of as human beings, and this stuff really isn't applicable anymore. What's your thoughts on the men's instincts to lie and communication stuff?
I think we're young boys. You know, when I was growing up, my dad was a pretty evolved guy, but nonetheless, my coaches in sports told me, you know, it's up to the referee. You don't, if you're asked something, you give an answer that's in the interest of the team, not in the interest of your morality or your ethics. If you're pulled over by the policeman and he asks you a question, you lie. If you've done something that could get you in trouble with the teacher, to get out of it, you lie. Young girls are taught to get out of things with their words and their charm. Young boys are taught to get out of things by lying. And I think that kind of culture, that's a broad generalization, yes, but I think it's fairly accurate and representative of a culture that encourages young boys to be untruthful. And, you know, the first thing I learned when I went into the corporate world and, was inducted into the old boys network was deny, deny, deny. If your girlfriend or your wife catches you with infidelity, you lie your way out of it. Never, ever, ever tell the truth. And we were taught that the women want you to lie, because if you tell the truth, then they don't think you actually. Then they think you actually want them to know that you cheated. These kinds of myths, truths, these kinds of attitudes are just no longer fly anymore. Women are no longer accepting lies. You're outed on the internet at every turn, so you don't get away with it anymore. So the culture is saying, the historic culture is saying lie. The new culture is saying you just can't get away with it anymore, and women aren't going to accept it anymore. So we again have this conflict between the tradition, the history of what it meant to be a man and how a man acted, versus the reality of how men can and should be acting today. And that's these young men today are kind of caught in the generational crosshairs between those 20th century morality, the 20th century attitude, the 20th century manhood, and the 21st century new rules that we have to live by or should be living by.
And is the solution, which I know you mentioned in the book a bunch of times, empathy, communication, or where's the light at the end of the tunnel here for men?
Well, there's a lot of light at the end of the tunnel. First of all, I think we have to redesign the educational system from pre-kindergarten up to be more conducive to boys. I think we need to introduce online learning, computers, gaming, co-ed co-ed gym and physical education back into the school system. We need to encourage boys to participate in drama, home economics. We need to encourage them to go into, just as we encourage girls to go into the STEM careers, we need to encourage boys to go into what I call the, literacy, learning, the HEAL careers, health, education, administrative, and learning careers. We need to really shift in a meaningful way the media culture. Just as we've tried to end objectification and sexism in advertising and programming and television for toward girls, we absolutely have to start looking at the way men are portrayed in television programming and television advertising, and we have to start rejecting that kind of personification of men as idiots, men as sexist, men as misogynist. We need to start providing some positive role models of healthy dads, healthy husbands, healthy men in television programming and advertising. May not be as funny, may not be great sitcom fodder, but I don't think men should be the butt of the TV joke anymore. It's just having a really unhealthy negative impact on society. And Matt, there are so many other ways that we can start really addressing the issues related to men in every sector. For example, in the corporate world, when a young man goes into a job in a corporation, he doesn't have that same kind of support infrastructure that a girl has, a woman has when she starts a new job. They have the women's organization, the mentoring organizations. Now, I'm not suggesting we start organizations that for men, but I do think those women's organizations in the corporations, in the communities, in society, in the church groups where there are women's organizations, they're structured. They have the support mechanisms. I think they need to start embracing and taking in young men, and women need to be the guides for young men to help develop them into the organization, into the community. And then we can spend a lot of time talking about the home and relationship and what we can do as well there.
I mean, we're in this post-industrial society, and so basically what you're saying is it's a true culture shift and a societal shift from everything from the home to the education to the workplace, and a lot of its awareness and a lot of its support, it sounds like.
It's the biggest cultural shift that I believe any of us will see in our lifetimes, and I believe one of the biggest cultural shifts in history, the shift from male to female dominance. Men have had for centuries the benefit of the greatest affirmation program in history. You know, it's called the history of men, and the positive support that men have gotten throughout history. But as we look going forward, you know, we really have to recognize that it's time to acknowledge simply the advances that women are making and start providing support for men. It doesn't mean that it's an either-or situation. It doesn't mean that if we support men, we're not supporting women. I simply mean that we have to accept that equality should be equality and that young men in many ways are being left behind. We're creating a lean-out generation of young men who are being disenfranchised. They're being out-learned, out-earned, and emotionally outperformed by women. So, yeah, it's a huge cultural shift. And at this point, the single most important thing we can do is simply recognize that young men are very conflicted by this shift, and they're not getting any guidance or support in how to manage their lives more effectively, whereas young women are getting enormous support from their friends and from society, from women's groups, in how to adapt to the shift toward dominance. But no one's really talking about the implications of that shift to young men.
And you mentioned the families. So in the family, it's basically, it sounds like, being more supportive of young men growing up and exploring different avenues. And is that the most simplistic way of looking at it?
Well, I think it's really, Matt, just understanding that our young men today are not their fathers, they're not their grandfathers, they're not even their older brothers. These young men are not only defying traditional gender roles, they're not even learning them. And most men under 30 accept gender equality. They've come of age in a feminist world. As I said, with working moms serving as role models, teachers as women. So young men today have grown up with an understanding and acceptance of gender equality and gender neutrality. The challenge is they then come into their adult years and they're finding that, in fact, it's not equal for them, that there is an abundance of opportunity that we've appropriately assigned to women, and that the women's movement has appropriately really focused on supporting and helping young women, women in general. And I think it's time that we have to equally pay attention to the needs of young men in the family. Dads have to recognize that they're not necessarily all that qualified to bring their sons up the way their dads brought us up and them up. And in fact, many men realize that several of those unhealthy trends, unhealthy realities in parenting, and the rules, the rules of being a big boy and manning up and all of those kind of traditional rules that were imposed. So I think we the most healthy thing we can do is accept the idea that girls are learning more male characteristics and embracing more feminine characteristics in boys, and not trying to impose rules that there's something wrong with that. Now, many parents are totally comfortable with that. Many are not. And in fact, many men's groups are very uncomfortable with my embracing the idea of more accepting more feminine qualities in boys. And there's a real movement among men's groups to be, to oppose that kind of recommendation. And they're very much focused on, responding angrily. Let's stay with what men always have been, and let's hold on to those male qualities. We're seeing some of that in politics today. It's sending very unhealthy messages to young men today that just reinforce those conflicts of what they feel about themselves and their own self-esteem, and then they're being told that society rejects those qualities that that they're developing.
It really seems like a confusing place to be.
It's for poor. We don't want to feel, sorry for young boys or for men by any means. In many ways we've written our own books, and we need to take responsibility for the realities of that we've imposed on women for centuries. So a lot of women look at it and say, well, it's about time you see what it's like. But I don't think that's a healthy response either. It is confusing. It is challenging. These conflicts are very real between the 20th century and 21st century rules of masculinity. And we're seeing that with boys more likely to commit suicide than girls, boys more likely to drop out of school, boys more likely not to go to college, boys less likely to get jobs, boys less likely to be able to pay back their college loans. And we're seeing women wait longer to get married, more likely to stay in the workforce after they've gotten married and having children, more likely to be the primary wage earner in the family. And for a guy who grew up saying, the role of a man is to be the provider, to be the strong one, it's truly conflicting and challenging.
This is fascinating stuff, and again, we're with Jack Myers, the author of How the Age of the Dominant Male is Over, The Future of Men and Masculinity in the 21st Century. If you don't mind, Jack, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Thanks.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
We are back, and I would like to thank, we've got a couple listeners writing in now, and if you don't mind, Jack, I'm going to read you something from one of our listeners. When I look at my children's generation, it's truly a mixed bag. My younger son is an outdoor nature lover. He and his friends, boy or girls, appear to be so very balanced. They are self-confident, kind, they eat the right foods, they love traveling and exploring. My older son is a city boy through and through. He and his friends have had way too much drama in their lives. Relationships are unstable, and overall they seem to be searching for things to make them happy. As my outdoor guy wakes up happy, anxious to get up and busy with his day, do you feel as I do that really environment is the key factor here?
Well, it's a great question, and I it's tough to generalize the answer, but I do believe that environment has plays a major role. Clearly, if there are opportunities for young men and young women to grow their self-esteem, to build their self-confidence, to feel that they are, in fact, accomplishing goals and fulfilling their inner needs and selves, and especially if they're in a fairly gender-neutral environment, which you can be in the outdoors, and where you're not confronted every day by rules and expectations of who and why you should be a certain way, yes, I absolutely think that's very healthy. In the city, in the corporate world, you're often confronted by old norms and old rules. Think about a young guy who's dating, and whether he's in college or early in his career, and he's learned, boy, to be careful about being too assertive sexually, because you're going to, if you throw her, you know, try to be overly aggressive sexually, you could certainly hit, you know, not hit physically, but, you know, get tossed out.
Right.
You could be put in jail even. If you're in college, you could be thrown out of college, but certainly accused of being inappropriate at the very least. But yet the cover of Cosmopolitan a couple months ago, the headline was targeting women, how to get the throw up against the wall passion you deserve. So the boys are conflicted by this need to be hands-off until invited in, but yet women still want young men and the men in their lives to be fairly assertive sexually. They want them to be the more traditional concept of a man. And I've heard from a lot of women who say, I wish men were more men sexually. And so there's this conflict of who you should be and what you should be that I think is kind of permeates society across in so many different ways, and that's just one example.
And so is it, I mean, to me, as I'm listening, I'm thinking that certain people match up better with other people, or is it just more communication within the relationship that is the fit? Or does someone with old school values have to, you know, meet up with someone with old school values, if that makes sense, and new school?
Well, certainly with online dating, with Tinder, with Match.com, there's so many easier ways to meet today and to come together and to determine whether you think there's an opportunity for a relationship or even a date. And there's serial dating, and it's really easy to hook up, and it's easy to hook up sexually as well. But hooking up emotionally is much more difficult, and finding that common bond. Women, I don't get a lot of argument when I say to women that I think they want their men to know what they're thinking and what they're feeling, and men aren't very good at that. I do think we need to find new and better ways of communicating. I recommend to women that they invite their the guys out for a talking date instead of going to a movie or a play or a concert, a show, to go out on a talking date, to go for a walk, to go to a restaurant, and to encourage them to open up to them, and encourage them to open up in return. And oftentimes when a guy opens up, or when the woman really probes him about what he's feeling, first of all, it's sometimes hard for guys to even connect with what we're feeling. But if we're encouraged, if we think about it, if we're giving direction and support to kind of probe what we're feeling, and we communicate it, a lot of times our partner or gets upset with us and gets angry because they don't like what we say. So I urge women to listen openly and actually reward the guy when he opens up emotionally, even if you don't like what he's saying. Tell him he's sexy when he's honest. Encourage him to be honest and find that path toward open communication. It's very difficult for guys who have often been taught to be more closed to open up, to get in touch with our feelings. Women often think that we have the same skills as they do in being in touch with our feelings. But women have grown up from childhood learning and being encouraged to be in touch with their feelings, whereas men have often learned to repress our feelings, not to communicate our feelings. I think one of the realities of young men growing up today is that they are far more in touch with their feelings and open about their feelings than prior generations, but they still have learned to keep often those feelings inside. So we need to encourage in the family, and parents need to encourage, moms need to encourage their sons, dads need to demonstrate to their sons and daughters the ability to open up, be honest, and be emotionally vulnerable. And as we have that more embedded in our society, I think it creates a healthier communications all around.
These are all great tips. And in the book, obviously, there's plenty more. I was thinking, culturally, and the book does talk about different cultures. You talk about the continent of Asia and how, women are still suppressed. And I think about the Middle East and other places. Do you see some of those cultures changing, or do you think that we are kind of us and some of the, like Europe, are an anomaly?
Well, the Scandinavian countries are ahead of where we are in terms of women's rights, and the men are more open and culturally accessible. The several European countries seem to be in a similar place of where we are, and obviously there are places around the world where women are still being repressed in very fundamental ways, fundamentalist ways. But Asian countries, there has always been a culture of male dominance, there appears to be much more of an opening up. The idea of only wanting boys to be born in some countries in the Far East is now actually shifting, where parents are looking more for girls to be born. And more parity between men and women. In some of the Asian cultures, there appears to be more acceptance of younger men adopting more less traditionally male qualities. So there's a slow shift happening around the world, but there's also a backlash happening in many countries as well, including in some parts of the United States, where there's a backlash against women's rights and women's freedoms.
And is this just an old school mindset, basically losing its resources?
I absolutely believe that's true, yes.
And another thing I'm curious about, the book I read, I loved, but I'm curious, the feminist world, how was their response to it?
Well, it's interesting. Many women, when they hear that I've written a book about the future of men, it's WTF. Well, what do you mean you're writing about men? We're not done talking about women. tough, dude. It's not your time yet, and we still have a long way to go as women. And I agree, there's still a long way to go. Most women have been very supportive. They're actually curious. I've been really embraced by the women's movement, the feminist movement. I have many speaking engagements coming up with women's organizations and major women feminist events. What's been more of interest to me are the reactions of men who I talk to about the future of men. And Matt, I think you're going to find this amazing. 70 to 80% of all the men I mention the future of men to respond kind of glib and sardonically, you mean we have a future? Or that must be a short book. So,
wow.
You know, our first reaction's to laugh, but I think these reactions are a sad testament to the emotionally disconnected reality of many men today. And rather than stepping up their game, many men, and especially young men, are feeling defeated as women gain emotionally, educationally, and economically.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at the history of certain, you know, lower socioeconomic cultures, when they start competing with each other, they go against each other versus rise up a lot of times. And so it would be nice to see, you know, a rising up of men and trying to find positive, you know, role models, like you're saying, and kind of basically following the tenets of the book.
And the danger is if we don't support these young men who are looking for new guides and new approaches, we have a danger that they become angry and that they begin to fall into the angry men's camp, which is destructive to everyone.
And then you also have a website out, correct? Thefutureofmen.com?
Yes.
And tell me a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
Well, the site is a compilation of articles being written and comments, and we're increasingly adding comments not just from that I've published or that I'm publishing, but from the Good Men Project and other efforts around the country and the world. We're opening it up to write anyone who wants to write about the issues, women writing about men writing about themselves and their lives, and we're really looking for ideas, recommendations. How can we get the word out? We have a window right now, I think, to redefine what is a good man and what is a real man, and to elevate the standards to which men are being held, and to no longer excuse inappropriate behavior. But we really need to embrace gender differences of all types, dismantle the tools of patriarchy, no longer accept violence against women, objectification, pay inequality, rape culture. But more importantly, and what I'm trying to bring to the website, is a new narrative that truly welcomes men into a gender-neutral and gender-equal society, and to help them, young men, define their purpose, identify their roles, help them chart their journeys, and identify their paths to success.
Obviously, you've had great success throughout your career. I'm curious, what's interesting you now, and what's next for Jack?
You know, I've been thinking a lot about that, because my career has always been looking for what is next, and what is next for me is men. It's really this is my purpose, this is my passion. I believe it's the single most important thing that our society and culture need to focus on today, is how we help encourage and support our sons, our young men, our sons and future generations of men and women to become better men, better dads, better husbands, better lovers, and to really, one of my primary goals is to focus in on media, as I said earlier, to really focus in on a message to TV programmers, to commercial writers and ad marketers, that they need to look at the way men are being portrayed, and to start developing better role models for us all.
Is there a way to hold them accountable?
I think the only way to hold them accountable is by really establishing a strong voice in the way the women's movement has held marketers accountable for objectification and sexism in advertising by not buying the products and by supporting those products in the same way that women support Dove because they've developed a very positive campaign. I think Dove for Men is looking at men in new ways. You know, it's interesting. Very briefly, there are a number. We're suddenly seeing a lot of commercials that do have the softer, gentler, kinder dad, and almost universally, they are with their daughters or with their young girls in the commercial, and they're demonstrating their openness to new models of masculinity and parenting through the eyes of their daughters, which is wonderful. But let's also show men with their sons and demonstrating new models and behavior for parenting with their sons. I don't think there's any real way to hold them accountable now, but I'm hoping that as this recognition of the issues around young men grows, that marketers and advertisers will see it as an opportunity to focus men. There are more stay-at-home dads than ever before. There are more dads taking responsibility for the shopping and the marketing decisions than ever before. More dads becoming primary caregivers than ever before in the family. And I think marketers will need to step up and recognize that as a business opportunity for themselves.
It's incredible. And I really do feel, you know, if there's three words to describe this book, I'd say illuminating, insightful, and empowering. And I really would recommend all men and women out there to read it. I get, you know, we're running out of time. Any additional advice you have for the millennial men trying to kind of adapt to this new world?
Wow, I'm still working on illuminating, insightful, and empowering.
I really did enjoy it, Jack.
Thank you. I truly appreciate that. I would say for young men especially who are responding to the words I'm saying and recognizing this in themselves, it's to understand it's not you. It's society, it's culture, it's the shift. You're caught in the crosshairs. Feel good about yourselves. Feel positive about yourselves. There are opportunities. You need to take them into yourself. You need to move forward on your own power and accept who you are, what you are, and understand that not to judge yourself in the way society may be judging you, that you have the power to move forward and you have the power to make the necessary shifts and changes in your own life to be positive and to be hopeful and in a best case scenario to be well educated and move forward in positive relationships.
Excellent. And those out there who want to purchase the book, what's the best route?
Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or I love when people go in and order it at their independent bookstore and support the local community.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much again, Jack Myers. The book is titled How the Age of the Dominant Male is Over, The Future of Men and Masculinity in the 21st Century. Thanks, Jack, for joining us so much.
Thank you, and thanks for your support for the future of men, Matt.
Thank you. And for all listeners out there, I want you to tune in next week when our guests will be Eugene Marshall and Elaine Chatterley from the Heritage Schools. Eugene and Elena will describe for our audiences how their Elevate and Peers program are helping youth re-engage in family and life. And if you missed or you want to share our show with your friends, please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com or check us out and subscribe to the show on iTunes. And the next time you're on Facebook and Twitter, please remember to stop by our page and check out some of our latest posts. And if you like them, please like us and spread the word. This is Dr. Mike Polacek saying thank you for listening to Answers with the Family, and we're looking forward to having Alan back soon. Thank you.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.